I know there's quite a lot of stuff to take in. What I would encourage you to do in these things, don't focus on trying to take it all in. Just allow your spirit to pick up what it needs to pick up, and then you can go back and listen to the things again. Yes, stuff like this. You know, I'm packing a lot of things in. I've done this before.
It's all being recorded.
I've been here every week, so, you know, so I'm packing a lot of things. But, you know, I'm not going to be back for a while, so... We need to see this flow from the inside out. So much of what we try and do is to change ourselves from the outside in. By discipline, by strength, I'm not... But all that's doing is focusing on the negative. And if you focus on the negative, it increases the power of the negative. If we focus on the positive and allow God to access from the inside out, things will be transformed and changed. Well, all we have to do is cooperate and agree and allow him to do what he needs to do. So in these spiritual senses or spiritual gates, they're all linked to the seven spirits of God. Now, I haven't got time to talk about the seven spirits of God because I have not developed the teaching to talk about it. I've met all of them, and they gave me all revelation, which I've written down, which one day I'll get to. But when you get a whole lot of heavenly counties, sometimes it's like you have to pick and choose what are the important things, the things that God's really put in your spirit. I've got years of stuff stored up, you know, but I'm bringing out the things which I know God's saying for now. So I'd encourage you, look at Isaiah 11 2, and actually meditate on what the seven spirits of God can bring. The spirit of the fear of the Lord, who brings that revelation of what it is to be in awe of God and God's presence. The spirit of the Lord, who will bring revelation of what God is doing. You see, if you're ever involved in any ministry or any counseling people or helping people, people will come to you and say, help. You have to be really careful that you know what the spirit of the Lord is doing. Because the Spirit of the Lord might have put that person in that situation to transform their lives. And if you help them out of that situation, you stop their transformation. So it's really important to understand what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. Because it's not our natural eyes that will give us that revelation. It flows through the Spirit. And you can get all the other ones there. But the key is, it all flows from inside out. Our soul, our flesh, our mind, our heart, that whole area of self-awareness will hinder the spirit. If I walk by the spirit, I will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So if I walk being led by the spirit, I don't have to worry about the flesh. But, Galatians 5:17, the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So there's a battle for control going on. Who's in control of my life? Is it my spirit and the Holy Spirit? And God, or is it my flesh? The flesh is used to being in control, so it fights for dominance. And we have to deal with it. The best way to deal with the flesh, kill it. Let it die. Our flesh has been programmed by nature. Our DNA and our past generations are passed on to us, and we can be reprogrammed. Nurture our environmental programming, how we're brought up, things that in that way shape our soul. How we think, how we feel, how we act are shaped by the way in which we've been brought up. That can be reprogrammed by the spirit. Trauma is experiential programming. Trauma is a very powerful thing in our lives. Trauma can set up instant pathways to memories that you can't break easily. You need ministry to break the patterns of trauma in our lives. Rejection and things like that need to be broken because they set up patterns. The soul draws from the outside. It blocks the control of the spirit. We have to dethrone the soul. Self, the old life, it's a key to encountering heaven. All of us have basic needs that God has programmed into us. The need for acceptance and love. The need for security and safety, approval, significance, affirmation, identity, purpose, affection, value and worth. Every one of those things has been programmed into us to need. Because we did not know God, we had to get those things from the world around us. That damaged us. God desires to meet all our needs, all those needs, through relationship through Him. That's where the needs are supposed to be met. So questions like, who am I, where did I come from, why am I here, what's my purpose, are the questions everybody in the world is asking. Everyone deep down needs to know why they are here. The only way we're going to get that true revelation is from a flow of the life of God from the inside. We can get that from the outside, and it will program us into doing lots of things. There's a diagram here which explains it. Jeremiah 2:13, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Everything in the outside world that we draw on to meet our needs is like a broken cistern. It's only temporary, and it can never meet our needs eternally. So what happens is, we start off dead to God, separated, but our soul still has needs. The only way it can get it is through the body. So it looks to the world for love, acceptance, security, significance, purpose. We get that through work, relationships, money, power, things. That's all the world's got to offer. Things. Problem is, when we look to the world for all those things, they are imperfect and cannot meet our needs. So we end up damaged. Our soul is damaged because we've been let down and disappointed by the things that are there in the world. So hurt, pain, rejection, insecurity, fear, disappointment, guilt, shame, all those things operate in our soul because we've looked to the world for our source of need. When we're born again and resurrected in that way, we now have access to a fountain of living water to meet all our needs for love and acceptance and that stuff. But we still have a choice. We've been used to drawing it from the world, so we have to change where we're getting our source of life from. That choice is not easy, because we've been programmed that's where we'll get our security from. That's where we'll get our love from and our acceptance. So we have to be reprogrammed. So now we can get them from God, but in the process of transformation, to be restored to our original condition, literally, we then don't need things from the world. And we can be healed of all the things of the damage that the world has caused. And then we can start to manifest the glory of God, because we will be transfigured by the life of God in us, to reflect God's glory and not the world around us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's part of the process that we're in, of being transformed. And the soul areas, which are conscience, reason, imagination, subconscious mind, emotions and will, have all been programmed from the outside. Our conscience is like our protector and our director. But if it's been programmed from the outside, it's usually pretty dull. And actually, our ethics and what we believe is programmed by the world, rather than by the spirit. Our reason center is not so we can figure it out in our head. That's not what reason is. Reason is where we actually interpret the thoughts of God, where we translate the will of God, and we understand it. Our imagination is both a screen where things can be projected, and also a projector where we can use that imagination ourselves. Our subconscious mind is like a computer has a hard drive where all the programs are stored. That's like the subconscious mind. Everything that's been programmed is all stored in our memory banks. Our memory banks are not in our head. They're in our heart, our subconscious mind. Our emotions is where we have our feelings and our responses, and our will is where we get persistence and perseverance or rebellion and stubbornness, depending on which way you turn. Now, all those things being directed from the Spirit point to one thing, the choice that we make. Every day, every minute of the day, we have choices whether we're going to listen to what we're seeing with our natural eyes, our natural emotions, and the programming that our soul has, or whether we're going to listen to the Spirit. And so I was talking this now to a lady about this, and it's like, when we see, I can see and look around this room with my natural eyes, so I can see a window. If I'm looking with my natural eyes, my soul might say I'm really hot, open the window. So I'm interpreting what I see through a need in my soul. I can also, if I'm flowing from the Spirit, actually see a window open. Because God may intend it to be open. Because I can see that in the Spirit, which will interpret what I see naturally from a spiritual perspective. So everything you see naturally, you must interpret through the flow of the revelation of God. Because God can enable you to have the heads up on every situation you face. Everything you're seeing, feeling, picking up from the environment around you can be interpreted through the revelation of the Spirit, which can show you what is to come. That's what it's designed. It's before this realm to give you the heads up so you can walk in blessing and power and authority. So, in a sense, we have to see that soul area transformed and dealt with so that God can flow out. And I want to just go through and I'll just look at these areas because I think it's important that you see. Our whole being, spirit, soul, body, Acts 7:28, in Him we live and move and have our being. We're supposed to flow in God. But we don't. So something has to change. So we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Now our spirit has the Holy Spirit, which we're all familiar with within us, but also within us is the presence of God, the mind of Christ, the glory of God, the heart of the Father. The Father and the Son are also in our spirit. You know, we're used to the Holy Spirit, but we need to connect it with the whole of who God is. Now, we're used to the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing out, expressed through our soul and body, and the fruit of the Spirit developing. That's all good. We're sort of very used to that stuff. But actually, when we surrender the government of our lives to God, the throne of our life to God, then all these gates become active. So we have to open that gate and say, Jesus, you are Lord. I invite you into my spirit as Lord. I'm not inviting him in as a joint partner, although he does cooperate and he wants me to cooperate. I'm inviting him in as Lord. So I'm opening that first gate, the first love, and saying, come in as Lord. And when I do that, the glory of God starts to be released through me. Because God starts to trust me with his kingdom things. Whereas if I'm doing things in my own strength, for my own reasons, he's not going to trust me. So I get dribbles of God's glory, not the fullness of the flow of the life of God. So our spirit needs to be grown and developed by surrender to God. Our soul, our subconscious mind, our heart, is in between, if you like, our conscious mind and our spirit. It's really the place where we would call our knower. Our heart. It's that subconscious place where we're programmed. It's all our memories and beliefs, our values, lies, truth, mindsets. All the things that have been programmed are in that area of our heart. Now, that means that we develop coping mechanisms and defense mechanisms, behavior patterns from what's been programmed there. Why do we react the way we do to situations? Because of what's triggered from what's memories are in our heart. So we have to deal with those memories in our heart. We develop strongholds, okay, that defend our right to believe what we've always believed, which are the things that are sown in as memories into our heart. Defense mechanisms which protect us because we've developed patterns. We have to survive. Human beings are survivors. And we develop all sorts of patterns of behavior and mechanisms as layers around us to keep us safe. They imprison us, actually. Because those walls that we build up imprison us and imprison God in us. So they have to come down. Familiar spirits operate in there. In our mind, although the whispers you get. Sometimes they're from the outside in your mind. Most of the time they're from the inside. Familiar spirits know everything about you. They've been assigned to you from birth. Sometimes assigned to your family from previous generations. They know everything about your family and you. So they can whisper and make you think that the way you think and act is you. It isn't you. It's not the true you. The true you is your spirit. With the Holy Spirit flowing in life. But you have to deal with all this stuff. Those things trigger our conscious mind. Worry, suggestion, responses, reactions, thoughts, doubt, unbelief. All those things in the outside mind are triggered by what's in our soul. Hence, if we want to see a flow of the life of God, we need our soul cleaned out, purified and refined and transformed. So when God comes into our life, we surrender to the throne of God, we start to get revelation, our mind gets renewed, our heart gets reprogrammed, and we start to deal with all these things on the surface. Because truth replaces lies. We get the value system of the kingdom rather than the world. Our memories are renewed. When I went through this process, literally, I had whole areas of memory completely wiped out. I cannot remember it anymore. Literally, I have a filing cabinet in my mind that now has some files that say things that there's nothing in. So I know I've been healed from rejection and healed from betrayal and some of the things that I was sharing last night, because yes, there's a file that says betrayal, but there's nothing in it. Because all the memories were completely expunged. Literally, God can wipe your memory clean from the things that have programmed you, from the trauma that's happened to you, because the Holy Spirit wants to heal and restore our soul from the inside out, to allow God access to heal and restore us. Our emotions. Another area where value, worth, love, acceptance, all those things are really important things, very powerful driving forces. Unmet needs in those areas shape us. They become things that the soul needs. So if you as a child did not get love, affirmation, encouragement from your parents, you have unmet needs. You will need to get those needs met in the world. That's the only source you have. Disappointment, low self-esteem, all those things come. Codependency. We get codependent on people and people on us because we've got unmet needs. And it helps us to help them so we feel better about ourselves. That's where codependency comes from. All these things are because these things are programmed into our emotions. Insecurity, rejection, guilt, all those things are emotional responses. Unforgiveness is a big one in the area of the emotions. It will keep us imprisoned and trapped. Resentment, bitterness, okay. Unhealed hurts. If we carry around unhealed hurts, those unhealed hurts will direct our lives. God wants to heal us and restore us. So they, all those things, act on the conscious mind to behave the way we behave. They shape our behavior. But when the Spirit of God is in us and we surrender, God can deal with all those things. So that we're coming from security and love and acceptance and worth and value and esteem, which comes from Him. Knowing that I'm loved by the Creator of the universe has far greater value than knowing I'm loved by anybody else in the world. But I need my soul healed to have that relationship. If I do not know I'm loved by the Father, then I'm not going to feel that love. I'm still going to need that love from the world around me. So many of us are a mixture of emotions where we're partially healed, partially restored. God wants to really restore us and make us whole. The same thing with the will. Sin in the will, which stubbornness, rebellion, causes control and fear. Those things operate in the will area of our life. And we can be very controlling people if we have those areas unhealed. Again, as we surrender, God can put in positive things in our world. Patience, confidence, humility, endurance, boldness, courage, perseverance, determination. Those are things that come from God's thing rather than the rebellion that comes from the flesh. So we need to deal with all those things. Now, I've whipped through that really quickly because I'm conscious we need to get to lunch. But independence or humanism is all about acting apart from God. Our soul acting independently because of unmet needs, unresolved hurts and those sorts of things. We have to die to self-centeredness and selfishness. It's like you can't put a plaster on it, it has to die. So we die by surrender. We give up control. We also have to die to things like self-importance and self-promotion and self-control. Self-control, anything that's got a self in front of it is not good. Okay? Self-control is me trying to control myself. Self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. It's a different thing. It's the Spirit in control of me, not me in control of me. Self-respect, self-esteem, self-worth, and self-image. Those are all seen as positive things. Do you need good self-esteem? I don't want any self-esteem. I don't want myself to give me esteem, or value, or worth, and I don't want to create my own image. I want to get it from God. I want God to give me my esteem through a flow of relationship. To give me respect for myself. Because He loves me, I love me. It all comes from the inside out. So in self-reliance, self-sufficiency, self-belief, self-expression, free love, all this sort of stuff, it's all the self wanting to meet its own needs. And we have to kill it. Self-denial. Self-denial is not a good thing. Because it's you trying to control your life by denying something. Surrender to God is a good thing. So, all those things, little phrase at the end, me, myself, and I have got to die. It's like, we have to die to the flesh and the soul. What blocks and closes these soul gates? Sin. Unforgiveness, rebellion, independence, self-centeredness, they block the flow of the Spirit. Strongholds, mindsets, beliefs, lies, negative emotions, fear, doubt, unbelief, demonic, familiar spirits, generational spirits, deception, confusion, control. They all block the flow of life. What I'm saying is really bad news, isn't it? And it's not really. If you're willing to submit and surrender yourself to God and allow God to heal you and restore you and make you whole, He can deal with all that stuff. But we need to unblock those gates. We need to see God move through them. I did this, and when I listened to Ian Clayton's teaching on this, and I started to meditate on it myself, because I thought, well, he went through a crash course, well, not quite a crash course, over a couple of years, of unblocking those soul gates. So I thought, if he can do it in a couple of years, I can do it in a couple of months. Because I have the revelation that he's got, so I can do it quicker. So I went through a crash course of trying to deal with my soul. And so I went back through every year of my life and looked to identify every cause of that soul gate being blocked. I had to be ruthless with myself. Totally honest, no arguments, owning everything that I was shown. No excuses. Totally open to the light of God. Now this was not an easy process. I used to do 3 or 4 years at a time. And I was wiped out after doing it, emotionally, spiritually, because it really drains you when you deal with stuff that opens you up. But you can do this quickly if you've got the revelation. And for me, I identified my revelation patterns, the sin in my life, weaknesses, hurts, mindsets. I owned it. I didn't try and argue it. God knows anyway. Why do we think we can argue and try and make out that we're better than we are? It's like, we want other people to think good of us, so we pretend. There's no point pretending. If you really want to have a flow of life flowing from the heart of God into the world, we have to be willing to be ruthless with our soul. Confess whatever He shows you. Repent. Renounce it. Forgive everyone who needs to be forgiven. If you hold on forgiveness, you will have a blockage which will stop the flow of life from going through you. God removed those blockages. That was just stage one for me. You know, I've had to go through other stages. But I tell you what, it opened up my life to the flow of God like anything else. Nothing else is done. But I had to be really ruthless. So I looked at my imagination. What had I seen which had blocked and polluted my imagination? And I have to be honest that all the things I'd seen on the TV, on film, magazines, on the internet, everything. You know, some of you have seen some pretty horrible things. If you don't deal with it, your imagination, which is the thing that Jesus projects images onto, will be unclear. And the enemy will bring things up to block that at the most inappropriate moments when you get an image of something that you've seen. And some of them, I'm not talking about necessarily sexual things, it can be that, but actually, sometimes it's just things you see naturally. which traumatized you, which has an effect on your imagination. So you have to deal with your conscience and allow God to restore it. When I went through this process, my conscience was so pin sharp, I couldn't even look at the TV and some of the adverts that were on anymore. I'd be sitting there, it's like, you know, and it's like some advert would come on and be like, oh, okay, look at it. And before, I wouldn't have even noticed. But it really sharpened my conscience, because reverence was operating and flowing to make my conscience pin sharp. So then I didn't want to do anything which was going to disturb my relationship with God. Now, if you don't consistently keep this going, what happens is your conscience gets dull. And then you start doing things that you wouldn't have done before. And then those things aren't being sin to you anymore. So we have to resharpen our conscience, deal with our imagination, deal with the mind and the emotions, and be honest with ourselves. If we are still hurt, then we have to be healed. You know, if we still have mindsets and belief systems which aren't good, we need to allow God to heal and transform them and renew them. So it's a really important process to go through. I'll finish there. Those unmet needs will affect our soul's desires and the motives of our life. So we need them met in God. Unhealed hurts will affect our emotional desires and motives. So we need them healed by God. Unresolved issues will affect our trust and cause us to doubt God. There may be things in your life that are unresolved. You just don't know why. Why did that happen? Some of those things you just have to surrender to God and allow God. You may never know this side of eternity why some things happen. You can go to heaven and find out why a lot of things happen, which is another teaching. Now, the key is, don't bury it, don't suppress it, don't cover it up. Because that's what Adam did. He went in the bushes and put fig leaves over himself. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, he was saying it's the end of the soul's power to meet its own needs. That's what he was saying. We have to deal with these things. So what I would encourage you to do, in your own time with God, be ruthlessly honest about your soul. Deal with each of the gates and allow God to restore and to heal. That is sort of a precursor to opening those gates up. And in the next session, I'll talk about how do you open the gates, what do you pray, what do you do. But this is the precursor to it. You can prepare those gates to be opened by dealing with those things in your emotions. Okay?
Yeah. Good work.